all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Yeah, it's me. Allegedly, back to the land of the living. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Monday. We are broadcasting live on our Civic Media radio stations on this December 19th, 2022, with a show likely to be heard again through the holiday break. So we'll spend a lot of time focusing on a review of what made news in 2022, along with some current headlines and a conversation or two, like about whatever took me down hard last week, causing us to miss multiple visits together. And you're still going to hear some sniffles and some coughing. And well, think of those all as just expressions of happiness to be alive and talking to you, at least in this tone of voice again, and not one that is, chomping on ibuprofen like it was candy. So we'll talk a little bit about the triple-demic that seems to have caused sniffles, aches, pains, lost time, or worse for practically every American at some point this season. We'll get back on track with discussions about, well, things like the Packers returning to action after a long layoff. Let's see, I think we're going to, around 7:30, explore how much lower legislative Republicans are willing to sink to put political games ahead of their own constituents here in Wisconsin. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly is slated to join us at 6:30. Terry Bell will join us at 7:50 from the Civic Media Newsroom. Again, assuming no further people in sick bay. If you want to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Our phone number is 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155, where Aaron Zommers is manning the booth, one of the last Americans to not be taken down by this tidal wave of illness, apparently. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Thank you. I'd like to thank my immune system for working for once in my life. I really appreciate this opportunity to exist.
Yeah, trust me, exist is probably a good way to put it, because, again, I was joking last week about having a cough and everything, but, I did not realize that between, let's see, when did we talk next on Wednesday? Well, the shows on Tuesday and Wednesday were, again, me feeling like death warmed over. And then at some point, I couldn't even do that much. So, in fact, let me pause the microphone while I give a little sniffle here. All right, there we go. I've gone through enough Kleenex that you could replant the Shawamagon National Forest at this point. But the roughest part was the coughing spasms. I mean, it's not just it started as a cough, but then it just turned into, when you felt it coming, I had to hold on to the counter. By the time, after a couple of days into this, I felt like I'd gone 15 rounds with Tyson, Ali, Spinks, and Foreman all together. Just the pummeling of my torso from all the coughing and such. So your roommates too? Nothing like that? Because I know around the station down there, you had a couple of different things going through, but nobody at home either for you, huh?
No, not this time. Although earlier in the season, both of my roommates did get sick. It seemed like it was just a cold because it was really not very severe at all. Neither of them had fevers. They both tested negative, still went to work and everything. But I didn't get sick then either somehow.
No, and I did the at-home COVID test. Definitely negative, and never a problem with breathing itself. Just that, and again, they don't test for the difference between RSV or the flu. And I've had the flu before. I know how bad it can be, but this felt a little bit different. And so I don't know exactly if it was RSV or whatever. And I was just looking at a New York Times article about, how to treat the two, the RSV and the influenza. And of course, it's just like, well, we don't really know. Take whatever works. And if it works, keep taking it, which leads to the aforementioned, ibuprofen and lots of rest and everything else. And spending so much more time on the couch or in bed than I ever would have thought. But it did help me to, do that one thing I said I wasn't going to do, and it was watch more of the World Cup, because it was on. It was that or regular American daytime TV. And I think we all know, you know, just what a cesspool that can be. So there was World Cup stuff. Did you watch the final game there?
I did. I didn't watch the whole thing, but my aforementioned roommates were watching it, and they were yelling pretty loudly. So
it was bonkers. It was bonkers. Now, here's my memo to everybody who talks about how much they love soccer and all the other soccer fans out there. Okay, the game that we saw on the final of the World Cup, when it went back and forth like that, and there were amazing saves and amazing goals, especially in the last 15 minutes of regulation and then everything else in extra time, do that all the time.
It was pretty
crazy.
You do that all the time.
You could get to be really popular here in this country because that was amazing. It was amazing to watch the back and forth and to watch the, you know, the drama that was involved. Even the penalty kicks, which people used to say is, you know, no way to decide a World Cup. But even that was, you know, exciting. And you had, you know, Messi and going for the big thing and Mbappe for France. You had heroes. Just do that with every single game. And, you know, you kids might have a chance to catch on here in this big country.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that for France, Mbappe did 4 of the 5, like, he kicked
the ball
in the net.
You're carrying
the
whole team on your back, and yeah, that's not sustainable. But holy cow, I was surprised at how much I was entertained by that. But, you know, well, can they sustain that momentum 4 years from now? You know, we'll see. I hope so, since it's going to be here. Let's take a break, go through some more headlines and such in just a bit here on Up North News Radio. I'm going to offer my preemptive apologies here because, again, we're doing shows the week heading into Christmas, but there is a fair chance that we're going to replay some of these shows at least the week between Christmas and New Year's, depending on holiday vacations and holiday schedules. You're going to hear things and go, wait a minute, why are we hearing this? There's a reason for it. And then we'll start fresh with the new year. But this is the time of season where folks are traveling. I hear some folks are getting sick. And then a lot of the time is spent looking back at the year and looking ahead at the year to come, because we have finally come through a crazy election season. And by the way, did I mention we have a crazy election season ahead of us coming up in February and April? So,
hooray.
Yeah, right. I tell you what, even this laugh, you talk about, you know, being sick all week here has brought back some things. For example, my dad, who's been gone for, 3 years now. And I have now, because of this rasp, I have now completely brought back his laugh, which is both heartwarming and frightening all at the same time here. Hey, there are many ways to catch what we do. You can either, you know, watch me struggle through this, or you can listen to it in so many different ways. If you'd like to actually watch, and you go onto Facebook, you go to the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page of our Wausau flagship Bow Falls Radio. And in both cases, Aaron puts up the video feed of what we do, and you can catch us that way. Otherwise, if you ever miss a show on the radio and you want to go back and listen to any show, go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. When you click on any show, you will see a listing of all the recent episodes, and you can listen there, or you can click on the links to subscribe as a podcast with Apple, Spotify, all the usual places. And so this is where I again say that Up North News is an entity that is separate from Civic Media, but we really appreciate the Civic Media Radio folks letting Up North News borrow this real estate weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. to tell you about the work that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you go there right now, you will see our lead story is about the new Miss America. Because up until, you know, a couple days back, she was Miss Wisconsin. But Grace Stanky is now Miss America. She was crowned with that achievement on Thursday night at the annual competition. It was held at a casino in Connecticut. It's now a scholarship competition, not the bathing beauty parade pageant that it was when it started, you know, about 100 years ago, roughly. Thankfully, things have evolved much since then. And not only is the winner from Wisconsin, but a nuclear engineering student from UW-Madison. And our Christina Laurie caught up with Grace Stanky shortly after her win and found out that Grace is not only the first nuclear engineering major to win Miss America, she's the first nuclear engineering major to ever compete for it, which tells you how times have changed. She wins a $50,000 cash scholarship and earned an additional $2,500 for her win in the talent competition playing the violin. And so Christina Laurie talked to Grace about, you know, whether the what her expectations were coming in, how she felt hearing her name called for the first time, what she's looking forward to doing during her time as Miss America, and the things that she's learned in studying nuclear engineering at the University of Wisconsin-Madison so far. So, again, congratulations to Grace, Miss Wisconsin from the Wausau area, who is the new Miss America. That's one of the stories that you'll see over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. I mentioned the phone numbers again, simply as my way of letting Aaron know that I don't have the phone program in front of me here, so you'll have to send me notes if and when folks call in at either 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And that's because for those folks watching the video version of this saying, wait, that's not your usual home office. It is not, which is really something, because not only are we kind of playing hurt coming back from illness, but also in a different location today. So instead of my trusty, reliable desktop, you know, iMac thing that's powerful enough, probably more powerful than a Tesla, because God knows Tesla doesn't have the power it used to. We're doing this off of a pair of laptops and a MacGyver's worth of bubble gum and string and tinfoil, and all appears to be working well so far. And we appreciate your patience as we come along with it.
I think I spotted some duct tape in there too with the other bubble gum and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. It might have even been done with some baby food jars, because we've been working on the granddaughter and taking baby food in, and she is become quite the eater as we come visit her and my daughter. But we also got exposed to a level of drama that we had never seen previously with our first three grandchildren, who are all boys. The boys are 16 and 8 and 3. And now this little girl is 9 months old, and we gave her parents a date night the other night, and she was fine for a little bit. She's always been fine around us, but then she took a little cat nap, and then she woke up and she howled and she cried and she cried. And we thought maybe she misses her mom and that's fine, you know, but she cried with it. Usually you can distract her, you can bounce, you can try other toys, you can try this, you can try that. And she was just not going to be consoled. You think, well, maybe she's teething, maybe another tooth is coming in, you know, but she didn't feel warm. And you check her eyes and make sure there's good. She seems to be breathing okay. You're going through the whole checklist. You know, we've raised two kids and three other grandkids prior to this, and nothing checks out other than that she is just crying and crying. Finally, her mom comes home and takes her. And like that, the tears shut off. And she gives us both this look, this beautiful, angelic 9-month-old girl shoots us this look like, ha, 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 I get what I want. And my wife and I both looked at each other, and then we looked back at the baby, and we looked at each other and like, I have never seen something like that before. And it was just, you are naughty, you naughty baby. But she just had this look like, got what I want. See you later, as my daughter and baby disappeared upstairs. Like, all right, you win this round, baby. Next time around, you better really be hurting, because we're not going to get nearly as worried or cave in as we used to. So just remember that, Aaron. I mean, even at the age of 9 months, a little girl has a way of wrapping you around her finger if she wants to.
Oh, yeah, I definitely know that with my niece, Gracie. usually it's not malicious, and I'm sure 9 months old, it probably wasn't malicious, but she wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, it was, I mean, honestly, it wasn't so much that she, I mean, we've had crying babies before. Again, we've had all of that. It was just that the look was just so stunning. It was just amazing. And so I couldn't wait to pass on that story of, you know, a little girl who knows what she wants and she's going to pursue it. Hey, as I looked around at headlines over the weekend, and frankly, the couple of days that, you know, the show was off the air as well, I was really struck by one particular story here, and I don't have the original Journal Sentinel in front of me, but again, I feel like in my waning days of perusing Twitter before it just completely collapses into nothingness, there was a tweet up about a Journal Sentinel story with this big old headline about how $6 million was spent to create a COVID-19 care facility, you know, House of Corrections. And now it sits empty. And it has sat empty for more than 2 years. And the obviously the story and the placement of it, the type size and everything else just fed into that whole mindset of that money wasn't, you know, somehow wasted, misallocated in the early, you know, months of the pandemic. And I just want to say for the record here that for anybody, a person, a journalist, an editor, a host, anything, for anybody to spin careful preparation for the worst case scenario as wasteful, that is just the pinnacle of recklessness and irresponsibility and, you know, 2020 hindsight. I mean, say a prayer that we didn't need that facility and many more. Give thanks that we don't still have refrigerator trucks lined up for all of the bodies. Yeah, we made preparations when it was bad, when the refrigerator trucks were in fact lining up outside New York City hospitals and other big city hospitals. And we saw the refrigerator trucks standing by outside of a Milwaukee hospital. And so, yes, you look for the facilities where you can isolate people in those early days when it seemed like it was spreading like wildfire, when vaccines were only a fantasy, and you prepare ahead of time. And to now say, well, it's sat empty for more than 2 years after millions of dollars were spent, is such revisionist history in terms of what we could be facing otherwise. Whether it's news stories about why didn't we plan better before all of this mass death, or, you know, we took things down too soon, and then here comes a variant of it, you know, that would have been completely resistant to the vaccine. So I will never not point out how wrong it is to spin preparation as wasteful. It was absolutely, the things that were done to prepare were absolutely the right thing. The things that were done to try to mitigate spread were absolutely the right thing. And the joy and the advocacy that come with this miraculous creation of a vaccine are absolutely the right thing. We are in some ways so much better positioned for whenever the next thing will be. And there probably will be a next thing now of some sort. And in some other ways, we are so much worse off. We are going to be in such a bad way, in part because we have coddled. There is no other way to put it. We have coddled the people like, say, a Ron Johnson, who continue to trash the miracle that is this vaccine. We continue to coddle the politicians who want to make out COVID safeguards as some kind of, you know, government takeover, you know, Nazism of, you know, likening it to things that were done during such a terrible period, you know, 80 years ago. We have coddled these folks. I thought about this, you know, being in a particular hotel with a teeny tiny bathroom. that had, we're in the shower and it's right near the bathroom door. And I was trying to envision some electrical apprentice going, well, we're going to put the light switch right here in the shower. You wouldn't let them get away with it. You wouldn't say, well, I should have the freedom or the responsibility to do it that way. No, you don't get to do that. You get to be mocked for it and ridiculed and prevented from it. And, that's a level that was sorely missing from the folks whose rhetoric and whose actions cost us lives. So let's be very careful about the revisionist history on preps for this pandemic. More coming up after this on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Oh, we're taking ourselves back to the 80s here as Kristen Lyerly and I were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And of course, you had to get in that plug for Duran Duran, didn't you?
Of course I did.
How are you?
I'm so good. But Monday mornings, man, Monday mornings are just like, whoa.
Well, especially when they're going to be late Monday nights because the Packers are finally back in action and it's Monday night football night out there in beautiful Green Bay.
Yes, it is. We are so pumped. This is a must win for us. So everybody, I mean, I can't wait to get out today and see everybody wearing their green and gold and just feeling the electricity in the air.
Well, that's why the green and gold flannel is out here, whereas I wasn't sure if you had a jersey or what yet, but I suppose it's early in the morning for you. Are your boys on break?
No, not until the end of the week.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. One of them is a whole week of school.
Yeesh. Really? Yeah. They do all the way on the 23rd too, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I mean, technically that's a day of learning. I'm sure somebody's going to learn something that day.
Hardcore.
maybe not. You'll recall that Kristen and I, as we've talked about the Rock Hall of Fame induction, I hadn't seen the whole ceremony yet. And I had time to do a lot of things on my near deathbed during the past few days.
You poor thing.
Finally got to see that, but we were commenting on the break about how, I mean, Pat Benatar is, 69, Dolly Parton, I think is 76, Lionel Richie, 75, is it Rob Halford from Judas Priest?
Mm-hmm.
All of them in their late 60s and still they're carrying a tune pretty well. I got to tell you.
Pat Benatar, she's out there in her thigh-high black
boots. Yes.
With her gray hair, literally just rocking it. Her voice sounded, it wasn't her prime voice, but her sounded absolutely wonderful. And her husband, who's her guitarist and was also inducted.
Oh my gosh.
He was shredding it.
Wow. That was amazing. So yeah, if you have access to HBO and haven't seen it yet, you have to call that up. Because at first I thought, they're just going to make they're going to have a lot of fun with the whole Dolly Parton thing. And Dolly couldn't have been sweeter. We have talked about that part already, how gracious she was about being there. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were in
That's
there.
That's what I was just going to say.
You talk about immediately being brought back to the 80s and early 90s. It was what a trip,
Oh, yeah. I was in college in Minneapolis at the time. And all those people, that was the center of music in this country. And then, of course, they recognized Prince.
Of course.
And how they all work together because they were members of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so much and to see how it all fits together and how it creates. I think it was Terry Lewis who said, you don't remember what happened 20 years ago, but if I play you a song from 20 years ago, it brings back all of those memories and all of those feelings. And that's how we're so connected to music and how it was so neat to see so many of those musicians acknowledging that we need to keep music in the schools and we need to make sure that we have access to music because it's not just about playing an instrument or singing together, but it's about mental health. It's about how you feel. It's so much more than just a song.
And you talk about, what was acceptable then versus now. We talked about Rob Halford of Judas Priest, just being able to just be his authentic self. Mm-hmm. Here's this guy who is, again, with the leather and the screaming and everything. And if back in the day, if you know, people would have been like, well, you know, he's gay, they would have been like, oh no, what are you talking about? It's like, no, he gets to be who he is again, still as devoted to his craft as ever before, but without having to hide something about himself.
And that voice. And that I am voice, not.
Holy, I can't believe there is a voice left in there.
It's unreal. And I am not a Judas Priest fan. I never really have had an appreciation for that type of music, but you can't deny that he is absolutely incredible. And they too, that entire band, they were killing it. They were unbelievable up there.
They were. And look, and again, I'm not what you would call, an Eminem aficionado, but I respect what he's been able to do. I know I definitely didn't in the beginning, but again, as you look back at a career, and again, with a performance like this, it's kind of like a greatest hits. In other words, you're only going to hear the best of what they did. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, the best stuff, pretty good, you know, and it was truly sad not to be able to enjoy Carly Simon, who lost not one, but two sisters within days of each other to two different types of cancer not long before that ceremony took place. And so it was sad not to see her, because again, one of the great voices of the mid to late 70s for music.
Yeah, I loved the collaborations too. You know, going back to Eminem, how he did the piece with Steven Tyler, and then Ed Sheeran did the Dido song with him. Right. And to see how excited they all were to be together, and like the crowd, like to see Pink in the audience losing her mind, or Gwen Stefani because of what she was seeing on stage. It's such a joy. I love to go back and just watch all of these Rock and Roll Hall of Fame things, because I just get totally sucked into that.
And we've hardly touched on the Eurythmics or Duran Duran.
I know, my favorite.
It was a great show. Really, really want to highly recommend that. You have been traveling a lot lately, and including you've got a college graduate now in the house. Not just you.
Yeah, I do. My oldest son graduated from Stevens Point with his girlfriend, summa cum laude, if I might add. Not Abe.
That's
Abe
the just graduated. Name,
no, Rachel. Rachel graduated with high honors. She's just a brilliant student. And they are now going to go on to finish their student teaching, and they're going to be music teachers.
Oh, well, there you go. See, I believe they just got a nice endorsement on the stage there at that performance about the need for that.
Yeah, they did. And they love it. But they also recognize how hard teaching is. And, you know, to be really honest, they don't intend to teach here in Wisconsin, which is where they're from originally, because they know what the landscape is for teachers. And
well, that gets us to the really tough thing to bring up that you brought up to me while you were traveling again up on the Iron Range in northern Minnesota. And I'll just put the ball on the tee to say that you told me about listening to Minnesota Public Radio and what you heard, and, you know, its ramifications for Wisconsin. So tell folks what you heard, and then we'll take it from there.
Oh, yeah. So I was just listening to an interview with Governor Tim Walz, who I think is a brilliant leader and a former teacher himself, by the way.
And again, another Democrat just reelected to a second term himself.
Right. So they have a functional united government now. Last term, they had a divided legislature, but now they have a fully Democratic government, and an $18 billion budget surplus.
$18 billion.
So they are ready to get some serious stuff done. And one thing that they recognize is we're struggling over here. We've got a lot of issues that are making people uncomfortable and that are making it hard to live in Wisconsin. So they are opening the door, and they are creating programs. And the one program he was really highlighting was paid family leave. They're creating, or his goal is to create, a paid family leave program to attract people from states where they're maybe not so happy, and make it very obvious that Minnesota is a pretty great place to live. And of course, with me, I've got one foot in Minnesota and one foot in Wisconsin, and I can see both sides. And you can see where so many Wisconsinites have left the state, gone to Minnesota, established, and been very happy with what they've seen there. It's a brain drain that started with Scott Walker, and I think it's about to pick up speed.
Oh, without a doubt. As soon as you said that Minnesota is going to work on a way to attract even more talent, because they know they need it. We all need it. We need it from, you know, whatever laboratory you're working in to whatever dairy farm you're working on to, you know, wherever. We need people to replace those who are retiring. We need those who have new skills. We need those who do not have high skills, but there is such a demand for their labor, you know, and labor that isn't just taken advantage of and given the lowest possible paycheck and everything mm-hmm. else, all the things that some of Wisconsin leaders want to do, which is only going to chase more talent across the border to Minnesota. And I don't like that we're, you know, having such a downbeat conversation about this, but it's real, folks. This is as real as it gets, as this is the state next door, which since Scott Walker's election 12 years ago has consistently shown that if you do the opposite of what Scott Walker and his allies want, your economy will do better, your families will do better, your businesses will do better. And sure, you can go ahead and say, as you've said for 12 years, well, then fine, why don't you go over there? No, how about some of us stay here and fight to have a state that is forward-thinking in its planning and in the way it treats its workers rather than kowtowing to its wealthiest and most corporate interests. There's a strategy I think we could maybe try to follow in Wisconsin here, Kristen, to keep people like your kids and you.
Oh, for sure. And I love that you use the word kowtowing because that just is so Wisconsin.
Oh, I mean, it just is.
But, you know, we choose to live here. We love this state. This is where my family has been for generations and generations, for hundreds of years. I want to stay in Wisconsin, but I want to stay in the Wisconsin that is the traditional Wisconsin, that progressive Wisconsin, the Wisconsin that recognized that we needed workers' comp, that we needed. There were a bunch of social programs where we were first, a state income tax. A progressive tax, right?
Yep.
Yes, that is Wisconsin, not the Wisconsin that Scott Walker created for us. So I'm fighting and you're fighting and we're all fighting to get back to that place that we know and love and believe is still here, that community that we've created and that we came from. And in order to do that, we've got to change the government. We've got to change the direction that we're headed in right now.
We do. And instead, what we've got, and I'm going to have more to say about it at 7:30, is we have state Senate Republicans who say that they're willing to restart the nomination process for Governor Evers' appointees, you know, the ones they've been sitting on for 4 years, that they're willing to restart the process. Like, oh, well, you know, don't do us any favors here. And in doing so, saying, you know, some of his nominees are going to be voted down. I'm like, why? What did they do? You know, and we'll list later all the things that they could have done, which sound a lot like things Republicans are doing right now, you know, that would cause you to not deserve being renominated. But, you know, like you said, we'll have to continue to fight these battles over and over again, starting with not just the state Supreme Court race in February and April, but also all the local school board races and other bits of local government that I have a feeling you're going to be plugged into over on the northeast corner of the state. And, you know, tell us a bit about how the campaigns are going there as well.
Yes, I am. We've got a big mayoral race here in Green Bay as well. But, you know, going back to the Republicans in the state legislature, they've spent so much time and energy revisiting problems that aren't real and not solving the actual problems. We're still experiencing a pandemic. The economy has been struggling. I mean, there have been so many actual ginormous life-changing problems that have been happening. And they're like, but what about the 2020 election? You're like, no, you have work to do.
Well, there's work they should be doing. Yes. Hey, now we're going to talk again Thursday with Hometown Health. Of course, we didn't get to do it this past Thursday while I was out sick, but that just gives us one more segment to air later on. So we've got that coming up, but since that segment might be get busy, I've got all of, you know, 10 seconds to ask. Well, I got a little bit more than 10 seconds, don't I? I got a minute and 10 seconds. What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm going to be in Hibbing. I'm going to be working and helping out the docs up there.
Oh, see, that's how
it's okay. No, it's okay because everybody's good in my family. My kids have a place where they're going to be. And then we're going to celebrate Christmas together. We did a little bit of that yesterday because my second son came back from Japan on the same day that my first son graduated from college. Oh, so it's been a big weekend. But yeah, we're all going to do something together special during the holiday. And it doesn't matter if it's not on the day because it's not actually about the day. Right. It's about
That's why I'm in one city here having Christmas with one daughter. Another one's going to come a little bit later on. And Christmas Day, you know, my wife and I just might be looking at each other like, well, I guess we're going to play cribbage.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. Christmas is the day you make of it, the day that you can do it. You want to hang around and do some music?
Oh, you know, I do.
Music history and such?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think you like that. I could even promise you a little Earth, Wind, and Fire if you're up for it.
Hey, hey, hey.
I think she is, folks. All right, we'll be back after this on Up North News Radio. If you're not awake yet, stand by. There, that should do it. All right, if you're not awake now, I don't know what else I can do for you. Earth, Wind, and Fire is what's going to do it. On this day, 1941, Maurice White was born, the singer, songwriter, producer, arranger, band leader of Earth, Wind, and Fire. He passed away in 2016. Earth, Wind, and Fire received 20 Grammy nominations. They were the first all-black band to sell out Madison Square Garden. And they will never not make Kristen Lyerly our own, you know, live bumper music anytime she wants to sing one of their tunes.
Those horns. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, I know. I'll just some of those songs I'm never going to get tired of. Never. Mm-hmm. There's some that do, but not so much others.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
What's that?
I said it's okay to be wrong sometimes, you know, for those people who do get tired of it.
There you go. But if anytime you put the song September on, immediately I go, oh, I could be in the worst mood ever. And I'm like, oh, it's September.
It works. It totally works. Yep. On this day in 1957, Elvis Presley was served as draft notice. Much to the dismay of his fans, he joined the U.S. Army's 32nd Tank Battalion based in Germany and got those infamous locks cut into a buzz cut. Let's see. President Clinton's impeachment was this day in 1998. 1970, Elton John had his first U.S. hit. Kristen, you know which one it is?
Benny and the Jets.
No. This feeling inside. There you go with your song.
Oh, thanks.
No, not your song. I mean, the song, it's called Your Song.
Oh, it's your song.
Yes. Yeah. topped out at number 8 on the charts, and he had one or two more after that. And continues to.
Good on him.
Yeah. And then one more you might have heard of, a little group called the Supremes. Mm. They, on this day in 1964, what a year for them. They already had their third number one single of the year with this one. A little bit of Come See About Me from this day in 1964 with the Diana Ross, again, did all right for herself, you know, even after the group got all done. How do you explain her to other people? She was the Beyonce of her time, you know.
I had never thought about her like that, but you're so right.
The Supremes were her Destiny's Child, you know. And I always wonder about that, about the ones who leave a group. Some come back to the group, some once they're gone, it's like you never see them again. And you always wonder what was the, you know, if there was more of a backstory to it. The best example of that for me, speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, was Steve Perry and Journey. Mm-hmm. And how when they split, I mean, they split that even in their Rock Hall of Fame induction ceremony, of course, you can't put them in the Rock Hall of Fame without him. He is the reason why, even though he was like not one of the original band members, they had a parting of the ways. So he came out from like a separate wing of the stage, if I remember right, and joined them on the podium for like, you know, a few seconds. You know, they all smiled and everything. And then they went their separate ways again. And it's like
separate ways. Were they worlds apart?
Yeah. Let's see. You're a quick one, Lyerly. You're a quick one.
Someday love will find you.
Yep. You had that. Then you had, you know, Lindsey Buckingham was fired from Fleetwood Mac a couple of years back. And I mean, I know he's one volatile person, so I can only imagine what it was like behind the scenes there. Mm-hmm. And some get back together. I mean, you remember how big the Eagles breakup was at the time. It seemed like there was no way they're going to get to back together. You just had to give it 14 years of seasoning after 14 years, you know.
And then they named their comeback tour the Hell Freezes Over Tour.
Yes. And guess what? It made them mega millionaires all over again that they said, you know, hey, maybe this reunion thing, maybe putting our differences aside is not such a bad thing. See, politicians, all we got to do is make it worth it. Right now, they make more money fighting than they do, you know, reuniting and getting back together. We need to turn the tables around. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a way we can we tie a politician's financial compensation to actually doing something good and something right?
Oh,
they'll find a loophole.
When Aaron speaks, it's always something worth hearing. He's like E.F. Hutton.
Yes, it is. Aaron has no idea who E.F. Hutton is. Boy, that too is.
You're right. I have no idea who that is.
See, that's going way, way back. I asked about Christmas before. Do you have a New Year's tradition?
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. We were at the Civic Media little shindig in Madison a couple of weekends back, and it was at the Concourse Hotel, and they had the listing of what they're doing for New Year's Eve, and it was just almost heartwarming. It was such an old fashioned, now it sounds like old fashioned, like they're going to get together, you're going to have this multi-course dinner with, you know, these desserts, this band is going to play, you're going to get champagne, all these things that just, you know, it's your classic New Year's Eve celebration that feels like nobody does anymore because, mm-hmm. Well, first, you know, COVID, people gathering, but even then, just everybody gathering to watch a band and have a nice dinner. It feels like we don't do that.
Mm-hmm. We usually do like fondue and we're together with the kids. We'll watch the ball drop in New York City, something like that. You know, maybe some champagne, but nothing hard and fast. But we usually do a home thing. But I had little kids for a super long time, so it was really hard for us to get out and be out that late with four little kids.
No, and I didn't know if you had, if you typically got a sitter or, you know, if there was a Green Bay thing that you like to do.
Oh, that's Russ, a whole other thing, getting a sitter for four little boys.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. So you didn't have like the regular sitter for years or whatever. It was always kind of whoever you could find.
Oh yeah, it was random. We pieced it together.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the age difference between the oldest and the youngest?
Almost 10 years. The oldest two are 18 months apart, and there's a 5-year gap, and then the youngest two are 2.5 years apart.
Okay.
So they really are, like, they're not that bad. And they're actually really good kids. It's just a lot of kids. And mm-hmm. getting a sitter for four kids is expensive.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it feels, for me, it was a little bit different. I mean, I think sitters still cost a quarter back then, you know, when we had kids. And Sherry growing up on a farm, you know, the oldest of six, I mean, there was just like, well, you could just lock them in the barn with the cows for a night, you know, come back.
They felt comfortable there. It was warm.
Yeah, exactly. You just curl up in a hay bale or something like that. No, for them, it was like the big thing was, you know, the one who got like the best grades or whatever, you know, got to drive tractor, but you couldn't drive tractor till you were nine. Like, what? I'm sorry, what, nine?
Well, you had to reach the pedals, Pat.
Well, I'm just saying, nine. I don't know if at 19 I would let one of my kids, you know, drive a tractor, but they have different rules on the farm than
totally
we did.
Different way of growing up.
Oh,
tractors
yeah.
aren't too also, hard to drive though.
What's aren't hard? What's this?
Tractors aren't too bad to drive though. I feel like. I don't know. Not too bad.
You got to eat that whole thing about keeping them straight. If you don't keep the row straight, you're in big trouble. But that's a whole different discussion. Kristen, have a great week. We'll talk to you for Hometown Health on Thursday.
I can't wait.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Back with more Up North News next.